I'm sure all of you have heard and have been watching to some point about what's been going on with Miss California. You know, she goes to church here. And I just want to address that. We get some emails about that. Number one, what you are watching is a very systematic, satanic destruction, an attempt to destroy her character through untruths. I would encourage you to keep praying for her. I'm dealing with that situation every single day. It is actually fascinating what's going on and how the media and the people are twisting it. So I want you to pray for her and encourage her. The other thing, her pictures came out. We don't never ever condone those kind of pictures. She did stuff when she was 17 and 20 years old. We're not going to condone that. But at the same time, we are not going to abandon her. We're going to stick with her and keep encouraging her. She's going through, amen. It's very important for us to understand, and especially with this church, because every church deals with things like this very differently, and I've had people criticize me and then also be very positive. Everybody is in process. Every single one of y'all are in process. And I was on doing some interview with, I think it was Inside Edition, and they said, you know, does people like that, you know, her pictures came out when she was 17, whatever, doesn't that going to hurt your church? I said, listen, if you were to take pictures of what I was doing when I was 17, you know, I was doing stuff that was illegal. Okay, she didn't do anything that was illegal. I did stuff that was illegal. And so if I was to go to your background and all of y'all when y'all was 17, some of y'all are 17 now, what did you do last night? It's not really... It's not about... And by the way, it's not saying it's okay, but it's saying where are you at today and what do you want to be tomorrow? And so we want to always be a church that accepts anybody. By the way, part of this, one of the emails I got is that you have all these girls that come to church and I can't come to church because of how they're dressed. I will say this. We always want to be a church where everybody, everyone say everybody, no matter where you're at, can come as you are. And you're not going to be, you have to do this, you have to look like this, whatever, whatever, whatever. You come as you are, and then we hope that God is going to move you along in the process of walking with God. What we want to be is the people who help people do that. So when you see people that are whatever doing this, you want to say, you know, well, how come they dress that way, and how come they're doing this, and this guy was cursing outside, and he was smoking a cigarette. So what? We are so honored that they're here, because this is where God's going to help them. Amen? But the flip side is that if you've been here for a while, you need to become part of the solution, okay? So, and it's a guy thing and a girl thing, but, you know, if you've been walking with God and you know better, don't get dressed, you know, don't take the sexy meter up to 40 on a scale of 1 to 10 to go to church, if you know better, okay? So some of y'all know better, you want to come looking delicious and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's just not necessary. So you got to deal with that with God, but the bigger picture is, We definitely want to move people forward, and just because you're not perfect, which nobody is, it doesn't mean you can't have an opinion, and it doesn't mean you don't need to be treated like trash, like they're treating us. So the point is we want to encourage each other. Please pray for and just pray for all that God's doing there, because this is a fight. It's a Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield fight. And, you know, sometimes you're going to get punched. You're going to get punched hard. You're going to get bit, possibly, like Mike Tyson bit him. And, you know, stuff happens. But I can tell you it's a very, very ugly situation, what's going on behind the scenes. It is very unfortunate, but it is what it is. And God put her in the midst of it, put us in the midst of it for a reason. And I think I see what that reason is, but it's still a very difficult situation. So I appreciate you praying for her. Amen? Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Oh, yeah. Y'all, that was weak. Let's try that one more time. Say word. Let's see a pen.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians. If you are new, haven't been here, we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit, the invisible man. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you. It's going to speak to you. It's going to empower you. He's going to teach you, illuminate truth to you. He's going to pray on your behalf. He is going to guide and direct you and lead you into truth. In a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to acknowledge his presence. We're going to acknowledge his intention for your life, his will for your life. I'm going to pray directly to him. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Pray, dear Holy Spirit, you can pray out loud with me, please. Thank you very much. Dear Holy Spirit, how are you today? It is good to be in church. I pray you bless the person next to me. Reveal yourself to him. Touch their life. I want everything you have for me. Fill me. Empower me. I want to be everything the Father wants me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. In this building, there are about 14 computer servers, and those servers serve a bunch of computers, maybe 150, 200 computers with the school and this church and miles ahead and everything that goes on here. And on those computers are different programs, different software. We have several software packages for lights, software packages, plural, for sound, software for video. Matter of fact, the picture you see behind me are three projectors blending one picture. It's not just one projector, there are three, and there's a software that blends the projector from three pictures into one big picture. We have software for security, software to do inventory for the bookstore and the cafe. We have database software for all the kids and all the staff and all the emails and text messages and phone messages and phone numbers. We have software for accounting, for Excel spreadsheets, for forecasting. We have software for all the graphics. They got a whole bunch of softwares. Got all these different softwares, and all these softwares and these programs empower the computers to do something very specific. And they're all different, and they're all unique. Unless you have that software package, you can't do that. When you ask Christ to be your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, he brings gifts with him, different software. And he empowers you to do things you couldn't do without him. Very specific skills. And so we're going to talk about that. Now, the reason this is important is because all of you in here have certain spiritual gifts and abilities that you may not know how they work. If you went on your computer, you don't know all the things on your computer that work, I'm sure. But you have these spiritual gifts, these spiritual tools, we're going to call them, to do things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And so it's very important for you to not only know what they are, but that you ask God to give you opportunities to use them, because then and only then will you really enjoy the full power of God in your life. So number one in your notes, if we look at your notes, number one, it says that these spiritual gifts are supernatural manifestation of the Spirit in your life. Everyone say supernatural. Say supernatural. When Jesus Christ was on trial with Pontius Pilate said to him, "Don't you know I can kill you?" And I'm going to paraphrase. Jesus says, "That's fine, go ahead and kill me." And Pontius Pilate said, "How come you're not tripping? How come it's not bothering you, not intimidated by me?" And Jesus says, "I'm not tripping because I have power you don't have. You have power my Father gave everybody or made access to everybody. It's political power, judicial power, financial power, economic power, personality power, charisma, whatever. There's all that kind of power we have. We have influence or power over people who work for us, over people we coach, whatever. We all experience that kind of power, and it's available to you, all of you, when you were born." Jesus was saying, "I have power that is above that power. I call it supernatural power. You have natural power, I have supernatural power. So when you kill me, I'm going to rise from the dead 3 days later. So go ahead and kill me because I'll be back in just a few days. Because I have power from somewhere else." The spiritual gifts God wants to give you is God's supernatural expression in his life, in your life. You don't have it with natural power. This is supernatural power. So these gifts can enable you, empower you to do stuff you can't do without them. Number two, it says, do not be ignorant to the gifts. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You need to know what is available to you. Now, if you go into a computer, have you ever gone into a computer and hit the applications button and saw all the computer programs you have? There's a whole bunch of them. How many of you know you don't even know what they are? Okay? There's stuff in there that will call you up 3 o'clock in the morning if you wanted to. It'll make your breakfast. It'll drive you to work. It does all kinds of stuff. Okay? Paul wants to make sure you understand the abilities that you have, that you understand the power that you have and why you have it. Look what it says in verse 2. Now know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of capacities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Look at number 3 in your notes. These gifts that God has given you are bestowed on the body of Christ for the purpose of serving the church. Every single one of you say, it's not about me. God wants to give you these gifts, but not for you, for the church. Now, the church was put here to be a light to the community and bring hope to the world. Here's a police department and the fire department saying, we have all these people who are hurting. They're dying, they're suffering, they're crying, they're depressed, they're discouraged. And will you please come and be a light to them? Will you please come and encourage them? And God has given you the gift to do that. Not only on an emotional level, but on a spiritual level. On a level higher than they can ever even imagine. God says, I'm putting you on this earth to be a light to the world. Not to just come into the church and hear a sermon. To be a light out there. And so he's giving you these gifts for the profit of all of us and all of the world. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning spirits. To another, kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And then it says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each to each one individually as he wills. Verse 4, the Holy Spirit gives as he wills. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit had a mind, he had a heart, he has a desire, he has passion, he loves you, he pours a God of love in you, but he also will give you these gifts according to as he wills. Remember, you have natural talent, we're going to talk about in a few minutes, and you have spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God that pertain to your life, so he knows tomorrow, next year for you, and he knows the reason you were put on earth, and he knows all the good works God has prepared for you, and he's equipped you for it. So whatever God has for you, the Holy Spirit has already equipped you to be part of the solution of that problem or to minister in that situation in the future. So he's given you all these gifts. Some of you are going to say, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you the ability to teach. I'm going to give you a gift of helps. I'm going to give you the ability to organize. Matter of fact, how many of y'all like to talk? Very good. Look at all these talkers. Okay, very good. Let me tell you something about the people who like to talk. All those people with their hands up, let me tell you something about them right now. They can't wait for me to stop talking. So they can talk. If you ever see people in church and their legs isn't going like this, or they're like, you're looking around, they just can't wait to start doing that thing, okay? How many of y'all like to listen? Okay. Y'all can just sit here all day because you ain't got nothing to do. Good, keep talking. How many of you like to organize? Very good. Y'all need to organize. Go organize something. How many of y'all got ideas, vision? Very good. You need to give ideas. How many of y'all like to teach? Very good. God did not give you those things for you. If God gave you the ability to teach, guess what? Someone needs to be taught. He wouldn't have given it to you if no one needed to be taught. If God gave you the ability to lead, someone needs to be led. If God gave you the ability to organize, someone needs to be organized. Something needs to be organized. And if you're not organizing, you're in the wrong place. Because there's something needs to be organized because he wouldn't have wasted it on you. He don't waste stuff. And so it's not for you, and he gave it to you according to his will because he knows everything. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He prays on your behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered based on stuff you don't know about. And so he's given you these gifts for a very specific reason, according to his plan, according to what he has planned for you in advance. And you just say, speak to me, God. Tell me what it is. Show me my gift. By the way, if you go on our website, theroxandiego.org, it's in all the materials you have on our website, and you search spiritual gifts or gifts test, there's a gifts test, and tonight you can know your spiritual gifts. And then you start doing it. Say, God, if these are my gifts, please give me opportunity to use them. And when you use them, you'll be most satisfied and fulfilled in your life. It's the bomb. When you don't use them or you operate outside your gifts, you will be very frustrated. Ever since I was a little kid, I knew I was going to do something like this. I thought I was going to be own a restaurant. That was my deal. I wanted to own a restaurant. Because I like, you know, I like just a lot of multitasking and serving people and getting people happy, that are, you know, just moving and shaking and baking and how you doing, what's happening, is the food good, let me fish it out, hey, okay, great, here's a little freebie, come on now, sit by the window, look at the water, get the sunset, snap, you know, just all that stuff. But I failed and didn't ever get a restaurant, so I'm a failure. So I said, I'm not gonna feed people real food, physical food, I'm gonna give people spiritual food. So when I first went to Horizon, I saw a church for the first time that was doing stuff in a community, and I just knew that's what I'm supposed to do. So here we are. Mickey was with me from day one, 20-something years. And I used to tell him a long time ago, this is what I want to do. So he's coming here going, this is what it is. But the point is that your gifts, they're like, I want to go. And you know, some of you have, I'm supposed to be doing something different with my life. And if you're not doing it, you're going to have restlessness in your life. Some of you have jobs and you are restless. Your salary's fine, the people are nice, but something's not right. You know what it might be? You're not doing what God created you to do. If you are an organizer and you are having a job where you are not organizing, you have the wrong job. It doesn't mean you can't do it, but that's not what you were created for. So you're not hitting on all cylinders. If you're a talker and you're spending all day listening, you are probably very frustrated. And you're not a bad person. That's just not what you were created for. So don't do it. Don't do it. Just get another job. Say, God, can I quit? He'll probably go, yes. Or he may say, wait one more month because the job I have for you is not ready. But be listening because he wants to put you where he created you. He wants to put you where you can use the gifts he's given you. That's what he wants to do. Lewis says next. It says, verse 5, no one has all the gifts. I know some of y'all are thinking, that's not true because I got everything. Turn to the person next to you and say this, you need me. I'm sorry, my bad. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Did anybody look at you and say this? I need you. And then they said back, I know. It's about time you realize that. Out of all the living creatures on the planet Earth, making me laugh. People are the most dependent creatures. We need each other. We were not created to do anything by ourselves. Not anything. We weren't created to live life by ourselves. We are creatures of relationship. eternally. Why? Because God wants to have a relationship with him. We're creatures of relationship. We're never going to be by yourself. The devil wants you to be by yourself. The devil wants you to isolate, separate. I'm better. I don't need anybody. That's the foundation of sin. I don't need God. I'll do it myself. We are created to be interdependent. So God says, I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you some gifts. And in order for you to get the job done, you got to work together. Let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, for the body is one and has many members. All members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I read that all day, and it's a tongue twister to me. But let's keep reading because the point is below it. Verse 13, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink from one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set all members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every single one of us has different gifts. Not different gifts, but we don't all have the same gifts. A group of us have this gift, a group of us have this gift, but we all have different gifts. We need each other. What the devil does, the devil starts to say, because that person doesn't think like me and act like me, they're bad. A lot of the criticism I get, and probably the criticism you get, is because people are imposing their gifts and tendencies on you. Well, how come you don't do this? Well, that's what they do, but that may not be how you would naturally cut out. You know, some people just love to counsel and listen. They just want to hear the whole story. Tell me what happened. Go back to the beginning. I want to hear it all. I got all day. Go ahead. Wow. How did that make you feel? Please, I am not making fun. I'm being funny, but I'm not making fun of those people because those people are extremely important. I have a counselor. This lady I met when we were around the same age when we started ministry around the same time, 25 years ago. We stayed in contact all that time. She's a counselor. She's my counselor. I refer, when people call the office, ask for a counselor, I send them to this lady. And every so-and-so, I call her up. When I get all twisted up in my head, I call her up, and I go, here's what's going on. And she goes, tell me about it. And I tell her all this stuff, and it really gets under my skin when she says this. And I tell her, I mean, we're really close, so I'm not trying to, like, bag on her. She's doing the right thing. But I'll tell her all this, and I'll go, what do you think? And she'll go, so, Miles, what do you think that means? I'm like, that's what you're supposed to be telling me. So, what do you think you should do? I have no idea. If I knew, I wouldn't be calling you. But what she does is she'll listen and ask questions and ask questions, and as she's asking questions, she's leading me to the conclusion. That's her gift. She does it all day. I could not do that all day. Does that make me a bad person? Absolutely not. That's how I was cut out. What we do is we say, well, you know what? Because that person's not like me, they're not good. Because that person didn't do what I would do, they're not good. We don't say those words, but that's what we mean. Instead of appreciating people who are different. That person always has new ideas. I'm an idea person, by the way. They always say, thank God for ideas. Imagine if no one had an idea. Imagine if no one could organize the idea. Well, they got an idea, but they can't organize anything. That's what you're for. Or maybe you're just to criticize. Is that a gift? That's not in the Bible. Instead of saying, thanks for the idea. Can I go organize it? Yes. Can we work together? Wouldn't that be great? That's how it's supposed to work. Look what it says next in your notes. All gifts are importante. Everybody's important. Every single one of y'all have an important contribution into the kingdom of God. And you need to believe that. Imagine if some of you were the voice, the sound equipment in here, and you said, I'm not going to exercise my gift of sound. What would happen to the sound in this room? We'd have no sound. What if you were the lighting and you said, I'm not going to do lights anymore? We'd all be walking around in the dark. And what if you were the video person and said, I'm not going to exercise my video gift? We'd be no video. The reason that those things work is because people are working those gifts. I'm not saying those are spiritual gifts, but they're doing their function. My point is this, if you are the voice and God has given you the gift to preaching or teaching or whatever, and you're not using it, then someone's missing out. If God has given you the gift of help, so you're not helping, someone's missing out. If God has given you the gift of organizing and administrating, and you're not doing it, something's chaotic that it shouldn't be chaotic. And you're sitting there criticizing it because you're saying, I know how to do that. Well, get off your lazy one and go do it. Now, you may not even know what your gift is, and you may be somewhere in a place where you're not even in a position to use it, and that's exactly where the devil wants you. And the devil wants you in that place feeling good about yourself, too. In other words, you shouldn't be leading because you're not a leader as far as the head leader, but you are a great support person. But the devil got in your ego and wants you to be the boss. And you're leading, and it's going okay, and you're working really hard, but you should not be there. And you almost kind of wish someone else would lead, but you're too prideful to give it up because you may look like a failure. The best thing you can do is to say, I want to be second. I want to be a support person. And sometimes when you get terminated from your job, it's the best thing for you. Because you shouldn't have been there. Doesn't mean you weren't doing an okay job. Doesn't mean you weren't doing a good job. It just wasn't the job you should have been doing. But when you are in a job, in a role, using the gifts God has given you to do exactly what He created you to do, that's when you go to bed every night, can't wait to get up the next day and do it again. That's what your life should be. If your life is, well, I got to go do this. Now, if you're in school, that's a different story. You need to go to school and school there, whatever. Yeah. What? I'm sorry? You saw my eyes rolling? And? Yeah, school. Okay. But when you got to say, Lord, I want to be doing exactly what you created me to do using my gifts now. Help me understand what my gifts are. Put me in a position to use them everywhere in your life, even your secular job. Look what it says next to your notes. The activities of the Spirit are mysterious. Say mysterious. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 3, it says the Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. About 10, 12 years ago, a friend of mine took me to Borrego to spend the night outside. He's a camper. He sleeps outside all the time and does all that stuff. I'm not that. I don't do that. I'm more Marriott Hilton type of brother. So I said, you know, Jesus did it. I'm going to stay outside. We'll fast for a day. We'll go in the desert. You know, the Borrego's similar to where Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights. So we went out there, and he gave me a little tent, put me in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, in the desert, with the sand and the rattlesnake and stuff, and said, I'll be back in 24 hours. I said, good. You know, I got my little water, got my this. And so I'm all ready to do nothing. So I'm rushing, you know, doing all this stuff. I got 24 hours, and I'm rushing. And I'm, you know, no, obviously no phone, no nothing. And it was cool when it was sunny out. Then it got dark. I was scared. Oh. Coyotes. You ever hear coyotes eat like cats and stuff here near your house? Anybody? You just go out to El Cajon or go to anywhere outside the city area, and you'll hear it almost nightly. They'll be eating stuff, little dogs, little rabbits, you know, bunny rabbits, And then you see the feathers on the ground the next day. I see it all the time. So I'm out in the wilderness, in the desert, where the coyotes live in packs of thousands. It's And they're like, you know, they're big. They're bigger than the ones here. They're like, you know, 6 foot tall, 400 pounds, big Kairos. And I heard them talking about me. Like, wait, oh, there's a brother scared over there by the mountain. I know, let's go get him. So I don't think I slept like an hour. I was just like all night long. Because I got this tent. They'll eat right through the tent. But one of the things I did when I was out there is I listened to the wind. And I tried to figure out where the wind came from and where it was going. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, being born again is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. So I would stand there and I would just listen. So I would stand there and I would just like, I would try to listen. Is it coming from over there? Is it coming from over there? And it was like, you'll be walking and the Holy Spirit will say, turn right. Walk over there. And then there'll be someone, you know, say hi to that person. Hello. Ask them how they're doing. How you doing? And God will say, ask them again. And they go, well, I'm not doing real good. Ask them why. And they tell you. And then God says, won't you pray for them? And your heart starts to beat. Right now? Yeah, right now. Take them over there and pray for them. And then you say, I hope you have a nice day. And you walk away. And you spend all day rationalizing why you didn't do what God told you to do. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. That was your moment. God says, I've given you the ability to help that person. I gave you the ability to volunteer. Some of y'all are going to leave here today, and you'll be driving your car, and all you're going to think about is, I should have signed up for that class. Don't do that. Sign up for the class. And God is saying, I'm giving you these opportunities to use the gift I've given you, and there's people in need, so let's go. It's that simple. It can't get any more plain than that. It's not going to get any more plain than that. And he's going to tell you stuff like, I want you to leave your job. I have a better job for you. Well, can you tell me where? No, I want you to trust me. I've done that twice. I did that to start this church. Just trust me. And so you have to say, you have to go, Lord, I know you're with me. I know you have a plan for my life, so I'm going to trust you. And when God brings those people, and by the way, it's always going to be 100%, always going to involve helping somebody else because God's all about people. And so if you don't use your gifts, someone doesn't get the help that you could have given them. And so the Holy Spirit's very mysterious. It's not going to be, you're not going to get a written note that says your name on it, here's what you need to do, da, da, da. It's not necessarily going to be a person telling you, it could be, but maybe not. But sometimes it's going to be this, it's just going to be this small, still voice saying, here's what I want you to do. And by the way, if you know that your gift is X or Y or Z, that's where he's going to focus most of your energy, is doing those things. I get stressed out when I try to operate outside of those gifts and try to do too much. But when I operate in those gifts, it's simple. How many of y'all are scared to speak in public? Very good. My wife, her and I are very opposite. But to me, that's what God's given me to do. It's easy. When I trust in him, by the way. If I don't trust in him, it's not easy. But if I trust in him, it's fun. But that's because what he's empowered me to do. There are other things he has empowered me to do, and I get stressed. Stressed because it's not what I want. And even thinking about doing what he doesn't want me to do, I get stressed. Just thinking about it. If someone says, hey, would you be interested in doing this? I go, you know, I really would love to, but I'm just busy. But I really think you could be good. I would not be good at that. I really don't. I just, please don't ask me ever again in your whole life. Because I'm never going to want to do that. That doesn't make me bad. You know, it doesn't make you bad. It makes you obedient when you focus on what God has called you to do. Some of y'all have a taste and you have this unction that you know what God wants you to do. And you have to, by faith, take a step of faith to go try it. When I was 24 years old, when I got saved, I was still playing football. They brought seven Charger players about, I was on a team, to Madison High School. Madhouse. It was the first high school I've ever spoken at. It was the first high school assembly. I'd never been in a high school assembly. Even when I was in high school, I don't remember ever having an assembly. And I didn't know they brought kids out of class. I was like, man, they do this in California? And they sat about seven of us on the stage in the auditorium at Madison High School. And I sat there and I was like, just tripping. I remember, it was like yesterday. I was like, wow, look at these. I love kids. And I was like, high school kids. And I hadn't seen like a mob of high school kids since I was in high school. I was like, man, this is cool. These are kids. And I would go back in high school. And so we all talked about drugs. It was a drug, anti, say no drug, whatever type of assembly. And I had never done assembly. And first guy went and he went, well, you know, you shouldn't do drugs because it's not good for your body. And, you know, and I was like, I'm looking at the kids thinking that. I'm like, if I was a kid, that's boring. No one said, you know, my name is so-and-so, I grew up, and, you know, you shouldn't do drugs and alcohol, blah, blah, blah. I was like, ugh. And I was like, I don't remember what I said. I just remember knowing I want to get rid of all these other brothers and come by myself so I can move around. You know, we're sitting on seats and just blow it up. So I left. After we did it, I went to Mira Mesa High School. And hey, do y'all remember, he's not the principal now, but a man named Jim Velasquez? Jim Velasquez is like Hall of Fame of principals in San Diego, the man. I went to Jim Velasquez. I didn't know him. I just went up to the school and said, who's the principal? And they said, him. So I went home and talked to him and made an appointment and said, Mr. Principal, my name is Miles. I'm going to play for the Chargers. Boom, boom. Here's my testimony. I want to talk to your school. I'd never done a high school assembly in my life. But I said, I want to talk to everybody. I want to tell them about this. And he said, okay. So I went to every gym class, six periods. Y'all got six periods in school? Still, went to every, y'all got gym? See, I know. And do y'all have gym in the gym? Went to the gym and start, and that's how I got started. But the point is this, is that I kind of knew, but I had to take a step of faith and go do it. You know. Just try it. You got your whole life, trial and error, practice, get better. I've been speaking for 25 years, and I'm still learning. There's so much to learn, so much to enjoy in the process of learning the gifts that you have. You want to live there and stop trying to do everything. Don't try to do everything. Do what God has called you to do. If God has made you a mouth, be a mouth. If God has made you eyes, be eyes. If he made you ears, be ears. If he made you toes, be toes. If he made you the toe jam for now, be the jam. I don't know what toe jam does, but just be it. Number eight, what's the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents? Your natural talents are limited depending on the flesh. Your natural talents, what you got at your natural when you were born. Some of y'all were talkers. You were talkers when you were born. Some of y'all just can organize stuff. You just had that. Some of y'all are good listeners. Some of you are smart. Some of you are good leaders. People just follow you. Matter of fact, where are the leaders in here? People just follow you. Look at all these people that think they're a leader. Very good. Very good. You know how you're a leader? Someone's following you. Because if no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. But if you had that, you had that birth. And what God does is God, when you get saved, he supersizes your natural talent. If you're a talker, he wants to use that talking to do spiritual work. If you're an organizer, he wants you to organize spiritually, and he wants to supersize it. What does that mean? He wants to empower with his wisdom, his strength, his insight, his anointing. So when you lead, people are impacted spiritually as well. And like my wife and I are opposite. I talk, she listens. Not because she's supposed to. That's how she was cut out. I'll come home from work, and I'm all excited. Them slay demons all day, got demon juice all over me and blood, and I'm all, you know, scarred up. And I'm like, guess what happened? And I hit him, then he did this, and literally, this really happens. I'm coming home, and I'm talking, and I'm sweating. I'm getting all my, you know, out of breath from telling her all this stuff so fast, and she's like this. I I'm all over the room, like just going, she's just looking at me. And then she'll say, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, did you hear anything I just said? Yes. Do you want ranch or blue cheese? That's just how she is. And then I go about and go talk to the dog, because the dog, you know. She don't give me no love. I always tell her, you don't love me, you don't love me. She's like, I know, I don't love you. Just go eat your dinner. Okay. Whatever God empowered you to do, that's what you need to do. You need to spend as much time doing that as possible. That's when your life and your Christian walk will go to the next level. And when you ask God to give you opportunities to use your gift, he will give you opportunities, left and right. And not only will he give them to you, he will show you that they've always been there. There are people in your world right now, in your classroom, at your job, on your team, that have issues that can benefit from what God has empowered you to do right now. And they are suffering to some degree and being frustrated to some degree that you can help them, boom, just by talking to them or whatever you do. Excuse me, you're in or things that are unorganized. You can bring order to chaos. Just like that. But you got to speak up. You got to say, can I try? Can I help? You got to do it. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct that opportunity. And sometimes he's going to tell you, you need to speak up. And you're going to say, well, that's not my personality. He's going to say, speak up. Get over that. Speak up. Because that may be just an excuse, not the reality. And once you start operating in your gift, miracles happen. He starts to bring you more and more and more opportunities. Our next series we're going to do after this series is going to be on prayer. And we're going to learn that God wants to answer your prayer. And one of the reasons God wants to answer your prayer is because he wants to encourage you to pray more. And so when you say, God, give me an opportunity, he's going to answer that prayer. And he's going to give you opportunity because he wants you to experience what it's like for him to use you. And so you want it some more. And when you want it some more, you'll do more of it, and more of his kingdom is blessed. More of his kingdom can grow, and you can grow as a Christian, and more people can get help. That's how it works. And so if you learn, here are my gifts. Okay, God, give me opportunities to use them, and I'm going to learn how to do them really well. And I won't be ignorant about it. I want to know. And I also want to know, and you will realize, that when you don't use these gifts and you try to use other things, that's when your life is frustrated. And there are so many people who their whole life is just, it's a grind. Why? Because they're not operating where they're strong. I love numbers. How many of y'all do not like numbers and math? Okay. Y'all know that game Sudoku? What's it called? Sudoku? No? It's not called Sudoku? You're doing this because you don't like it? How many of y'all would never play that game, Sudoku? Y'all know what it is? Okay. Is it called Sudoku? Okay, I was on a plane yesterday and the day before. I flew to Nashville, got came back yesterday, and there was a young lady from the church. She's a water skier from, I think, USD. And she was on the plane, and she was playing Sudoku, the game. And I was going back to the bathroom. She's sitting in the aisle. We started talking. I was like, I always seen it, but I never learned how to play it, never talked to anybody about it. So she explained to me how to do it. And I was like, man, I want to play that game. So I went back to my seat, and the guy that I was traveling with, who travels with me, he showed me how to play it. And I was like, all up in it. Because I like numbers. Imagine if you don't like numbers and you were made to do that every day. Some of your lives are that. You hate numbers and you're doing Sudoku every day. Your job is Sudoku. Your girlfriend's name is Sudoku. Everything is numbers. What is your life like? You end up being suicidal. Because it's like, Imagine if someone came to you and said, we're going to take you out of the world of numbers and we're going to put you in the world of art. And you're an artist. Okay? And art people are like this. How many art people? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Okay, please don't scream. We're in church, okay? Okay, no, I'm only kidding. Raise your hand up real high. Now, of the art people, watch what happens to everybody else. How many of y'all, right now, your bedroom is really neat? Put your hand back up. You know your bedroom's a mess. No, I'm only kidding. Art people, my daughter was an art person, and everything was just like blowed up. Because art people, and I'm generalizing, I'm stereotyping, I know, but art people are can be very abstract. Kind of like, well, you know. And when you take an art person and you try to talk linear, they talk sometimes. I'm generalizing, I'm not trying to criticize. It's a very good thing. I'm not trying to beat you down. But sometimes you talk to them and you go, because you're looking for a 1, 2, 3, they're like, 7, 2, 9. It's not a bad thing. But imagine if you were an art person and you work for someone that wants you to be linear. It's conflict. Imagine if you're linear and someone wants you to be abstract. It's conflict. Imagine if you're words and someone wants you to work with numbers. Conflict. Those two people are not bad. It's just that you're in the wrong place. So my challenge to you in this, and I'll end with this, is that you say, Lord, I want to know my gifts, and I want you to put me in a position that I can use my gifts. I want to operate where you created me to operate. Please lead me in that. And if you ask him that every single day, and I'm telling you the truth, please trust me and try it. And you say, God, my whole life is in open hands. If you want me to change jobs, if you want me to change relationships, and I'm not necessarily talking about dating, but even the friends you hang out with, so I can be where you can use me, do it. Ooh, watch out. Watch out. But when he gets you to where he wants you to be, watch out. You'll be like, how could I ever not live this way? Lord, thank you so much for making us unique. Thank you so much for blessing us and gifting us. Lord, I pray we would all discover the gifts and talents you've given us. I pray we would seek to use them. I pray we would seek to perfect them. I pray we would seek to be in a place where we can use it every day. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunities that you can put us in to use us to help other people. And I pray you bless us today. Bless us this week. Open up those doors of opportunity for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you, go sign up for the training, and let's go help some people in San Diego. Amen. God bless.